Wednesday, the 2nd of January, Kof Dalet Teves, Rabbi David Kahn, Fixing Commissions and Interests in Partnerships.
Good morning. Good morning. Today's topic, as its title suggests, is something which is coming, seems to be coming up more and more often in partnerships and arrangements and financial arrangements. And I want to give you this one example of a din Torah that's actually current, that's going to be current, not here, but probably be announced in Israel, changed some of the details to make it authentic, but not the real case. And it's an interesting one because I think it's an eye-opener to certain cases where, for example, I'll give you, before I bring you this example, but let me bring an example where if you have two computer programmers who decide they're going to set up together in business and they're going to write a program together. One lives in his home and the other one lives in his home, and they're going to work together and put together a program. One of the partners decides they've got everything together, it's all put together, one database, each one has access to the other one's work. Before the first one knows anything, the second one has sold all the information, has sold the program, and that's it. In halacha, how do we view this? Where's the ownership? Where's the shutzus? Where's the partnership? The case that came up, that this particular case, is the following case. It's similar in din, although seemingly different. This was the following case. There was one particular person had learnt a lot about producing coffee. He knew what types of lands were necessary, what types of conditions were necessary in order to be able to grow fine coffee. And he went with a map around Brazil and chose for himself the best locations, where there's the right, there's water nearby, where there's the right rainfall, where the conditions about are suitable, where there's road access to be able to transport the coffee that's been grown, etc., etc. And he went around and drew right through Brazil which were the right land, areas of land that could be acquired and could be used for growing coffee. He approached somebody who was, although he himself was a lawyer, but he had a lot of access and a lot of know-how of how to be able to receive these lands. He had a lot of information with this particular country, and he was able to be able to find the land necessary. And they decided between the two of them, and this was the deal made with the coffee expert. The coffee expert said, look, I know that you have expertise in acquiring land in Brazil. Let me tell you what potential there is in many of the areas that I can tell you that coffee can be grown, on condition that we together set up as a partnership looking for an investor, and we share on a 50-50 basis the profits, the commissions that we receive. So I'm going to teach you, he says. You are a lawyer, you know a lot about land, you know a lot about the technicalities, the red tape, etc., etc. I know about growing coffee. I will teach you what you need to know to be able to discern which lands are suitable for growing coffee, and then we will look together for an investor, and we will share in the commission. This was the case. What happened was that the lawyer agreed, and he sat down with the coffee expert, spent many hours teaching him exactly what is necessary, what conditions are necessary, etc., etc., and they agreed to start looking for a company which was going to invest in and going to actually buy up these lands and use these lands for growing coffee. What happened was they worked together, and the coffee expert brought a number of clients to be able to the lawyer to be able to get things going, and they were in the middle of muscle backwards and forwards dealings with a potential investor, when suddenly the lawyer turns round to the coffee expert and says to him, this is the truth, turns round to him and says to him, listen, I've just signed a deal, closed a deal with a huge company. They have bought all the lands that are suitable for coffee growing, and that's it. Thank you very much for helping me. I very much appreciate the time that you spent with me, and they've given me a 10%. They've given me a 10% share in this investment. This is the story. The coffee expert says, "But we made an agreement together." She says, "Yes, but that was only the investors that we found together. This is something. I'll tell you the truth," said the lawyer. "I didn't even approach the coffee expert. I didn't even approach the investor. He approached me. He approached me. Off I went with him. We went round by helicopter from place, from area to area. I pointed out all the areas that were necessary. And that's it. The deal's done." Now the question is, does the coffee expert have any claim in halacha? Were there any contracts signed? Was anything signed? No, it wasn't. Any paperwork? None at all. Any witnesses? There was one witness to the handshake that was originally made that they were going to set up in partnership together. And upon that, the coffee expert offloaded his expertise and his information to this lawyer. Now the question is in Din, how do we look at this? Two questions we need to ask ourselves. By the way, exactly the same case could come up with these two computer programmers, exactly the same thing. They're both busy spending many hours each from their own computer, and suddenly the program has been sold. That's it. Been sold by one person, by one of them. What comeback does the other one have? If there's a contract, there's a contract. If there's no contract, now what? How does the halacha view it? The two areas, we need to break this down into two separate areas. And those are the following. Number one, halachically, has any shutfus taken place? Is there a shutfus? Is there a partnership? Or has the coffee expert merely divulged his expertise, handed it over to the lawyer, and the lawyer's gone and done his own business deal? If there is a partnership, the question is this partnership binding if the lawyer is the one who went away and did the deal by himself? Say there is a partnership. Can the lawyer turn around and say, look, there is a partnership. If we find an investor together, by all means, but since I was the one who found the investor in my own time, and I did it on my own, so who are you? Laus baal devarim didiyah. There's a Rambam at the beginning of Perek Daled of Hilchos Shutzin who says, and Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that in order for a shutzus to take effect, there has to be some kinyan. You have to make a kinyan. And the Rambam lays out and says that, for example, if we put our funds together, and the idea of we put our funds together with the idea that we're each going to put £50,000 into the kitty, and we're going to invest the £100,000, when each of us makes a kinyan on the £50,000, I pick up yours, and you pick up mine. In nowadays terms, there's a joint bank account, and the funds go into this joint bank account. That will be a kinyan. Then the joint £100,000 belongs to us both, and I have the right of shutfus over your £50,000, and you over mine. It's not 50 and 50, it's £100,000 that we own together. But if no kinyan was made, we can talk together, we can make arrangements, We can shake hands till the cows come home, but, says the Rambam, nothing's going to happen. There's no kinyan at all, nothing takes effect. This is over here in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Hilchos Shutzim. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Hashutzim shubol lishtateis, should two people who come to make a partnership, ein hashutzim shitzuf nigma, the partnership does not take effect, b'dibur, merely by speaking, he says, until each one, kol dover v'dover lefi kinyonoi, miskayim shutofa, you need a kinyon. So says the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, however, Shulchan Aruch is the opinion of the Rambam, the Ramah, the opinion of the Mordechai and the Goros Maimoni, the Ramah says no, not so simple. The Yeshoimin, the Afilu Kinyan, Einon Tzrichim. You don't need a Kinyan at all. Kol ma shemasnim ze im ze, miskayim, whatever we agree between ourselves, miskayim takes effect. Afilu ba'amira, even if it's merely by word. Why? The Einom Yecholim lachzer bohem kol zman ashutzes. Here, the Ramah says, if we make an agreement, says the Ramah, based upon a Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that the Dvorim haniknim ba'amira, they are things that the Kinyan works merely by word alone. And the Gemara says that Omer Rav Ashi, Behahi Hano, with that benefit, the Kotzaisa Lahadodi, that each one is prepared to listen and behave according to the agreement, Gamri Umakni Lahadodi, that each one is Goma Umakni, had intention to be Makne, to make himself subservient to the other one, and hence the Shutzah takes effect. There's a machlokus in the Ramah whether it works, whether as a Shutzah I can decide, okay, fine, until now was fine, I want to break away, or whether it's binding for all the times of the originally stipulated Shutzah, but the Ramah says it works. Machlokus, Mechaber, and the Ramah. Now the question is, what would be in such a case? Clearly the lawyer is going to say, going to waive the Shulchan Aruch and say, listen, nothing took place, it was very nice, we spoke, nothing written, no kinyonim, and therefore, what do you want from me? The coffee expert will turn around and say, what do you mean? There's a Ramah, you can't just ignore the Ramah. The Ramah says that this is the din over here, that we both agreed, you didn't want me to walk off and do the deal myself, I expected you not to do the same. We were working in partnership. What do you do in such a case? Machlokes, Mechaber, and Ramah. The trouble is that the one who is muchzik, the lawyer, can say, Kim Li, that you wanted to take the money out of my hands, I would like to go according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. You want to say the Ramah. The Ramah doesn't say the Chei Noehagim. The Ramah just says there's another opinion. And the Ramah doesn't say how we should paskin. So you've got two opinions, Machlokes, Mechaber, and Ramah. So what do we do? So here, seemingly, the coffee expert is in trouble. But there is another din that can help the coffee expert. And that's the following. Even the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, says, V'yesh mi she'omer, and there's some who say, but who is the Yesh mi she'omer? Say the Mefarshim, it's the Tor. And why does he say V'yesh mi she'omer? Nobody disagrees with the Tor. But because the Tor says it off his own bat, so therefore, the Mechaber brings it only as the Yesh mi she'omer. Says the Nesivos, nobody disagrees, not even the Rambam. What is this opinion? Shehu hadin imoshach kol echod me'oisov shel chaveiroi. He says, ve'afil lo osu loizeh veloizeh. This is the piece I want. Even if there was no kinyan whatsoever, elo nishtatfu v'ischilu lisov ve'litein ve'esek hashituf, Liknois Oilimko, Yesh Misha Oimer Zemahami. What's this? If we make an agreement together that we're going to work in partnership, if we sit and we just say we are going to work in partnership, we need a Kinyan. Without a Kinyan, nothing takes effect, says the Rambam. But if we actually start working together in partnership, even if there was no kinyan, but we both sit together with a client and the coffee expert explains the positive attributes of the various lands that he's trying to sell, and the lawyer explains how he can obtain the land for him at a reasonable price and how it can be easily obtained, the two of them are working together. If they work together, the very fact that they're working together, even if this particular client, this project doesn't materialize with this client, but says the Shulchan Aruch Mahami, it works. Here's a case for the coffee maker. The coffee expert can turn around and he can say, look, here we are, I've got the opportunity over here, we work together, maybe not on this client, but we were in the middle of working on another client together. We have worked together in partnership. And since we've worked together in partnership, here, this is a kinyan. And indeed, this is a kinyan. So if you have two people who set up as an agency, two people who set up as computer programmers, and they begin writing the program, if, as agents, they begin working on their first client, they are then shutvin in anything that they agreed to work together. So therefore, in this case over here, no question about it, this lawyer doesn't realize yet, but the truth is that he is in for a surprise, because whether he likes it or not, this coffee maker, this coffee expert, is a shutter of his, because they started looking for a client together, each one with their area of expertise. Even if there was no kinyan, there was no paperwork, as long as the lawyer doesn't deny that they ever started together, in this particular case, he can't deny it, because the original client is coming as a witness that they've all three sat together to discuss this project. Therefore, it's binding, and half of his 5%, of his 10%, and we're talking, by the way, about tens of millions of dollars in this deal, this over here, this is going to be, it would seem, the fianius dieti, that the coffee expert has a right to these, to his half of the project. The interesting question over here is the following. How long, we've now said, has the shutzah taken place? Yes or no? The answer is it has. No documentation, no kinyan, but an agreement, and start working together. That itself is a din. What is really important to appreciate in partnership is that if I'm a partner together with you, we're partners together, what does it mean? What are our responsibilities one towards the other? A shutuf is both a shliach and a shliach of yours. Whatever I do in your name as well as my name, even if I go away and do it by myself. As long as we're partners in that area of business, we'll see in a minute there's a din, what happens if a partner goes and does something else? Let's say we're partners in property, and I decide I want to invest in oil. Okay? So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch says, I mustn't do it during office hours. If I did it during office hours, says the Shulchan Aruch, it depends whose money have I used. If I've used partnership money to do it, even if I've done it on my own, you didn't know anything about it, you weren't involved, it was my hard work, if I've used partnership money for it, then the profits are to be shared equally and the losses are to be borne by myself. If the case is, yes, that it is my own money that I've invested, I'm to be wrapped over the knuckles for taking time of partnership time, but the profits are mine. The losses are clearly mine, but the profits are mine as well. By the way, when I invest in oil, I have all the losses if it was a situation where what I did was something that I should have asked your permission first. Sometimes partners can do things which is reasonably seen to be in the partnership's interest. Not every tiny thing has to be asked, but if it's something which is totally new, something which is totally shall we say, external to the normal dealings of partners, in such a case, the loss, the risk, is taken by the partner who goes off on his own. So in this case over here, we can ask the following question. The person, this lawyer, went off. He didn't use money, the partnership. He went off and he signed a deal. He didn't use anything. What did he use? What he used was information, which is intangible. Something which is intangible, davar she'ein bo mamash. What has he used? But here, nonetheless, the Nesiva says that in that area, in the area that we agreed to work in that area, that is the shibud. When we are partners, we are partners, we are mutual shluchim, one for another, and we're also mutual poyalim. I work for you, you work for me. I am a poel of yours, and you are a poel of mine. And in fact, the machlokus about whether the partnership can be dissolved in the middle, in the Ramah, in other words, are we only partners until further notice, or can I give further notice and get out, will depend. There's a din that a poel is chodeboy afilu b'chatziyon. There's a din avodahein, v'loi, avodim lavodim. So therefore, if I'm working for you, if I'm an employee, I can quit at any time. I might have to suffer financial penalties for it, but you can't force me. I'm not your slave. But, says the Sama, when it comes to partners, there's no issa. I can't get out unless we've made an arrangement that the partnership will end at a particular time. Partners can't just leave one another. Why? Because the issa of me being enslaved to you, that I am your employee, is because you are my odoin and I am your eved. But in partnership, we both have odin. Nobody is an odoin one to another. We're on a par. Says the Sma, the first opinion, the Ramah, which says that if we've set up shop for a particular period of time, and in this case it isn't time-based, but it is context-based. This was an idea, a brainwave, that the coffee expert had. Something he said, I'll take the lawyer in as a partner to do this together. As long as there are lands available which are suitable for growing coffee in this particular area that the lawyer wouldn't have known about had it not been for the coffee expert, that is their area of partnership, that the shibud, when they started off working together, was that they would work, anything in that area would be together. And therefore, even though the lawyer hasn't taken any money, any funds, any assets of the partnership, but the fact that they were mishtabi zelazer, each one through working together, has said that in this area we will work together as a partnership, there's definitely, therefore, he is entitled to have half and half. Had the lawyer said, look, I will give you 25% for sharing the information with me, and 25% if you join in and help find the clients, then he would have only been entitled to 25%. But in the absence of such an arrangement, they are shutsim one with the other. Particularly in this case, the lawyer used a list of lands, a list of areas drawn up by the coffee expert, and therefore even when the coffee expert wasn't with him, he was with him as a shutuf, because he was using information that had been provided and worked upon by the other shutuf. And hence, that was the case, that was the actual deal over here. I will mention, and I thought I was pleased to see many of you gasped when I mentioned that there was no paperwork. There is a din, and the question is like this. Many times dinei Torah come up and there's no paperwork. Now, the question, apart from it being tremendously unwise, the question is there an issa involved in setting up a partnership with no paperwork? Why should there be an issa? Why should there be an issa? Because there's a din, there's a gemara in Bava Metzia, of Ein Heil with base. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Kol mi sheyesh lo mois, he says, umalve oison sheloi be'edim. Anyone who has funds and lends somebody else, which is a marvelous thing to do, to help somebody else, but shaloi be'edim, without any witnesses, they didn't witness the loan. Or, I'll add, you can also have a document, will do as well, says the Gemara, Oiva Mishum Belifne Iva Lositin Lechshon. You're an Oivanistrat, you think you're doing a marvelous mitzvah, in Kesef Talves Ami, you are, but at the same time, we can deal with the mitzvah Bavera aspect, but not for now. You're certainly being over, says the Gemara, and Issa Deraisa. Here, says Rashi, She'oiva al Ruchoi, as a result of you lending him, he thinks to himself, She'oiva al Ruchoi She'loiva Lichpoi. It will tempt the borrower to deny that the loan ever took place. So Rashi says, this is what we find over here. And so it is paskened in Choshen Mishpat Siman Ayin, Osa lahalvois beloy edim ve'afilu leTalmud Chacham. Why the Talmud Chacham? Says the Sma, Talmud Chacham, to be choshish that he's going to tell a lie. Says the Gemara, says the Sma, yesh lachshosh shemo machmas tirdas limudoy yishkechenu. So even if, yes, Talmud Chacham over here doesn't necessarily mean only somebody whose Talmudoy is umnose, but we're also talking about somebody who is an elachayid, yes, an elachayid. I was never choishes that my good friend would be kosher. Says the Sma, even if he's not deliberately lying, he's been so busy he's forgotten about the loan. It's been some time, he borrowed it in a hurry, he's forgotten that he ever borrowed it from you. That in itself is also an issa. Therefore, you must never lend money. The question is, what about over here? Is there an issa in setting up a partnership without having documentation? I searched high and low. I looked in Hilchas Poelim. Are you allowed to hire a poel without? Are you allowed to do work for somebody else? If I'm a plumber, can I come and do work in your house without making you sign on the dotted line first? You might turn around and say, you didn't do anything for me. Do I know you? Also, a case of, if you deposit something with me, you're off on holiday, and you say, please, could you look after my candlesticks for me? I don't want them there visible from the window. Who knows who will take them? They used to belong to my great-grandmother, and please look after them for me. And later on, you come back, candlesticks? Whose candlesticks? Yeah, there's no, I couldn't find any source for it, but in the Gemaras, couldn't find in Shulchan Aruch, looked in Nachronim, there's no such, I couldn't find a din. Couldn't find it. It seems that this din is only mentioned in Hilchas Halvo. It's only mentioned in borrowing. All I can think of is that normally speaking, somebody who has to borrow money is somebody who's short of money. Somebody who's short in money, there's a greater nisayon for the person to deny the loan because he hasn't got the money to pay back. Come the day that he's hoped to be able to pay back, that he hasn't got the money, and therefore there's a greater nisayon upon him not to pay back. But that's just my own suggestion of why it is not mentioned anywhere else. So it would seem that this coffee expert, as stupid as he was, which he really was, not to make sure that everything was written down clearly written down as it should have been legally, so that both in Dine Torah and in Dindu Malchusa it was enforceable. But as far as the halacha is concerned, he hasn't been over anything for not doing this over here. And here I think is a bit of an eye-opener. Sometimes people say, look, partnership, yes, we discussed it together, nothing was, we didn't write anything down, and anyway, I went off and did the deal myself. But the answer is no. If you've made an arrangement to be partners, and you've worked together, even if it was you worked together on another deal, but the arrangement was that in this area you would be partners, certainly, until you have spelled out, either in writing or in front of agents, that you are walking away from the partnership, in a case that you're allowed to, it'll work, you remain partners, and your sleeping partner, if he is in this case, will be entitled to half a share of whatever it is, whether it's the commission, whether it's the profits. He is entitled to half that share as a shutuf. He remains a shutuf of yours, and when you go and work, you are not just a shutuf, you are a shliach and a poel, for both for yourself and for your partner involved. This gives a bit of an inkling. There are other cases as well that have come up that are of a similar nature of partnerships, where people don't realize what the essence what the meaning of a partnership is. Just want to finish off by mentioning over here there's very interesting piece in Rabbeinu Yonah, which I've seen recently, and I think it's particularly relevant over here. The Rabbeinu Yonah asks a question which I think many of us have had, and he says, the Gemara says that somebody who's over a mitzvah adin drabonon is chayav misa. Many of you may have come across this. It's mentioned that somebody who's over an issa deraisa is chayav misa. And the question is, issa drabonon, thank you very much. So he says, the question is, why should it be, he says, here the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, chomer b'divrei sofim b'divrei Torah. He says, Shehoime ain't tefillin, la'avoyal divrei Torah, potter. Chomesh totefus, lehosif al divrei sofim, chayav. V'chol ha'oiva al divrei chachomim, says the Gemara in Brachos, daftalad on the base, chayav misa. So if somebody doesn't take albuminim, it's not chayav misa, it's a bad person, bad lad, shouldn't have done it. He's got to do tshuva. Somebody who's over an Issad Rabbanon, the Gemara in Brocha says Chayv Misa. There are no Melitzas in the Gemara. Why Chayv Misa? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, to explain this point. And he says the following. He says, what is the point of an Issad Rabbanon? Why did the Chon come along? They didn't come along to make life difficult for us. They didn't come along and say, look, 613 mitzvahs, nah, getting off too lightly. Let's add a few more. They came along to add dinage rabbonon or siyogim and gedorim in order to help us keep the din d'oraisa. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what is the point? The point is that the Chachamim saw that if it was left to the din d'oraisa alone, and you mustn't write on Shabbos, but if you're allowed to hold a pen and have a pen in your pocket, so therefore you'll end up writing, you'll forget. The Chazal said, don't touch a pen. You can touch a pen as long as you don't move it. Chazal said, don't move a pen. Maybe a pen every time you touch it, you move it, we won't get involved in that. But don't move a pen on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why? Because if you do, we're worried that you're going to come to write. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the essence of Issuri Rabbonon are a concept of Yirah Shomayim. You're scared. Maybe I'll come to write. That is the essence of Issuri Rabbonon. Are there? It is a display of Yirah Shomayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what does Hashem say to us? Va'aso Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokech HaShoel Meimach. What does Hashem want? It doesn't say 613 mitzvahs. It says, Kiyim LeYirah Es Hashem Elokech. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what is the point of keeping all the 613 mitzvahs? Yirah Shomayim. What does Shlomo HaMelech say at the end of Keheles? Seif Dovah HaKol Yishmo. The only sefer that was ever written where the whole sefer is the introduction and the sefer itself is one posuk. Whole thing, hevel, 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 avolim. At the end, what is the essence of it? Seif Dovo HaKol Nishmo Es Elokim Yirah Es Mitzvotov Shmo Ki Zeh Kol Adam. What Kol Adam is Es Elokim Yirah. That's what it is. You ready? Yirah? Es Elokim Yirah. So that is the point. That is the essence. Here we have the reason why I mention this in partnerships where things are verbal, where things that are here, there's a certain amount of Yirah Shomayim, which is the only thing which is going to keep the honesty in business, is that one understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge over here and that I'm not going to gain a penny if I'm dishonest. The honesty and keeping to one's word is, in Rabbeinu Yonah's own language, the very purpose of keeping all of the 613 mitzvahs is in order that we should attain Yirah Shomayim. And hence, an Issa Drabonon, if one is mezalzel, doesn't mean if somebody was open to the Chon B'Shogi. It means if someone is mezalzel with Issuri Drabonon, he's Chayv Misa because he's missed the whole point of keeping the entire Torah. So here, when it comes to business, one can be learning, even if one's busy in the office, one can be busy being Yirah Shomayim, being Osek b'Toro b'Mitzvahs all day by being scrupulously honest and making sure that whatever business deals go on and whatever happens and whatever questions arise, if one asks and one really finds out what the din is and whose money it is or it isn't, that is the essence of Yirah Shomayim and the underpinnings או כל הפרקות.